Wow. Happy birthday. Oh my gosh. Easter at Unity of New York. What a treat. Do you know that one year I actually came just to go to church, just to be with you all for Easter, and I can't believe I'm standing here. So my talk today is entitled The New Temple. And it begins with an idea that I was given in, 2011 maybe, where I was told that I was supposed to go to Bali in Indonesia, and that when I go to Bali, it will nurture and nourish my soul, and whatever comes from ministry would come from that nurtured place. Well, I had no inclination to go to Bali, so I didn't even know why I was really, you know, what that was all about. And I said to the spirit within me, if you want me to go, you pay for it. Well, long story short, I ended up in Bali in February of 2011. No, sorry, 2013. I went on my own for a 40-day retreat and decided that I would spend the first 2 weeks with a Qigong retreat so that I would get the lay of the land and understand a little bit about the culture before they left, so that I'd be on my own the next 4 weeks, I'd know my way around. So, first of all, who knows about chemicalization? Wasn't expecting that, but it was an upheaval, a spiritual internal upheaval that made me think I was losing my mind. And I was also detoxing through my body and agitated as the churning and the clearing was happening inside. It was an emotional roller coaster. And you really would have to understand what chemicalization is to have an idea what that was. But I was not expecting that, because I'm Paulette Pipe from Touching the Stillness. We're just all calm and om. What's this? The other thing that happened while I was there with the group, the Qigong retreat, was that we visited many of the temples in Bali. And temple life is a big deal in Bali. It's one of the it's actually the only Hindu country in the islands. All the others are Muslim. So they take temple life really seriously. In fact, they have over 20,000 temples, and they're for everything, one for the mountain, one for the river, one, and then they have family compounds, and each compound has its own temple. It's actually estimated that 70% of their income is spent on offerings and festivities and family, keeping up the family temple. Told you, big deal. So while I was with the group, we visited some of the more popular temples. But it was interesting to me when I got back and realized the sequence with which we had done that, how important that was, and I hadn't planned it. So one of the first temples we visited was called Tanalot, and it's the temple of surrender and letting go. It's a very famous, important temple on the west side of Bali. And when we first visited, we went really early in the morning so that we would get there before the tide came in and be able to receive a blessing from the priest. And before going into the temple, we had to be purified. We had to wash our hands and our feet in this holy stream as a representation of purification and letting go. The next temple we went to was called Puragunang Kawari Sabata. I am not Indonesian, but that's what it says. And that's in a place called Tampak Sering, and it's the temple of wishes. And they have these pipes, probably more than 12 of these pipes, with water gushing into a pool. And the Indonesian people go and bathe at each of the pipes. And the first three represent health. The next three represent wealth. Then there's spirituality. And then the remaining pipes, you go and you set your prayer intention for all intents and purposes. And so there are these long lines and the water's quite cold. But I had told listeners of Touching the Stillness to send their prayer intentions to me, and I would find a way to carry them with me on this experience. So that's where I release their prayer intentions for prosperity and healing and so on, and in higher consciousness, and just release them into the water as an intention. So it was very special. And then there was the Temple Ulan Dano, which is on Lake Bator. And it's kind of set off on a little island. When you see pictures of Bali, you usually see pictures of this particular temple. And it's the temple of abundance because it's surrounded by water. And because of all the rice and the rice paddies, water is a symbol of wealth in Bali. It's set in a beautiful scenic garden with statues and everything. And we prayed there to the melodic soundtrack of these children that were on a field trip, and they had come to the temple to pray and receive their blessings, and they were singing and chanting. That was also very beautiful. Then we stopped at a place called Goa Gajah, which is like the elephant temple, which isn't strictly speaking a temple, but it was like a dark cave, and they had these alcoves where you go in and stand and meditate and be still. So it had this really powerful energy. And it was a place for reflection, going inside. And then there was Goa Lawar, which is like a bat cave. Oh my gosh, just thinking of it. And all those bats, I mean, they were so thick on the wall, it looked like just a dark mass. I don't mean to freak you out, but it was ugh. And they flapped their wings and everything. But it was right juxtapositioned with these beautiful three temples which represent transformation. And the irony of that juxtaposition that even with the creepy, crawly, disturbing scene and sound of the bats, you stand in the presence of transformation and change. So if there's something going on in your life right now that feels like it's overwhelming you and getting you down, it feels like a dark place, perhaps you too are on the threshold of transformation and change. So I tell you all this about the chemicalization and the temples. I do have a point. I am getting to it. Because one of the things I did, my birthday fell in February while I was on this trip, and one of our listeners had gifted me a time in a meditation retreat up in the mountains. So I went up into the mountains, and it was far away from the hustle and bustle and all the commerciality of the tourists and the hawking street vendors and all the spiritual seekers trying to find some peace in some of those spiritual places like Ubud. On the way there, we drove up through the mountain, and then we came to this village. They have festivals for everything, everything. If someone sneezes, we're going to have a festival. I don't mean to make light of it, but they really are lots of festivals. So we got caught in traffic up in the mountains, because as we drove into this village, there was this festivities going on. They had the big paper mache statues and paper dolls and all the blessings and the incense. It was gorgeous, and they're dressed in their finery, you know, their sarongs, and the ladies wear their white shirts, and the men have on sarongs and head wraps, and they were in their finery celebrating something, and we had to sit and wait for their procession, and they're taking their time. It's their thing. But I was in no hurry. I was going on retreat. So I asked my driver, well, what's this particular festivity about? He said they're celebrating their new temple, and they celebrate it for an entire month. Wow. Yeah, told you. So didn't think anything of it, went on my way to the retreat, had the place mostly to myself, and went deep, still more of that releasing and chemicalization, and yet going deeper all the time, going deeper and touching the stillness in a new way with that energy around me up in the mountains. It was beautiful. It was perfect. And then I decided to join a couple who came midweek, and we went for a 40-minute trek through the forest that would take us to that same village, because in that village was an old temple. It was about 600 years old. And so we went to the temple. We had an audience with the priest. It was the thing about when you go to the other temples, because they are popular, they're usually populated by tourists. But this one was just an ordinary village temple, so there was nobody there. It was just us. We had an audience with the priest, and he blessed us and gave us a little one of those string bracelets of prayer bracelets to wear. And then Miss Curious, when it was all over, says to the guide, "How close are we to the new temple?" He said, "Oh, it's down the street a ways." And I said, "Is it possible for us to go and see it?" He said, "Sure, okay." Well, we come out of the old temple, which had a 600-year-old banyan tree in it, and you can see the moss on the stones and everything, and we're heading to the new temple. The place is like a ghost town. This is only like 4 days later. Nobody in the streets. The papier-mâché dolls are like lying on the side. Nothing going on. We get to the temple, and I peer through the gates. That doesn't look new to me. And that doesn't look new to me. In fact, it looks as old as the 600-year-old temple we just came from. And I had seen stonemasons using their artistry and their craft to create masonry for the new temples. I'd seen it happen as we drove through the island. So I knew what some of the temple masonry would look like. I did not see it in the new temple. So we trekked back, went back to the retreat center, and over lunch, I mentioned to the retreat owner that we had had this detour and that we'd gone to the new temple, but it didn't look very new to me at all. And he said, "That's because it's not new. They spent 3 months purifying it, cleaning it up, cleansing it, and then they celebrate the purification for a month." And in that moment, I understood my journey to Bali. I didn't look any different on the outside, maybe a few pounds heavier, but I didn't look any different on the outside. But this had been a trip, a journey of purification and cleansing, getting ready for what was new. Because remember, I was told, go to Bali to nurture and nourish your soul, and what comes from that nurtured, nourished place will be what's next in ministry. So that made me think of Easter and how we live the Easter story. How many people here engaged in Lent? Well, if you did, if you didn't, that's okay. But if you did, you will know that that too is a period of purification and preparing ourselves for this very day, this very moment of resurrection into the new. And it's in unity we practice Lent, not by giving up the chocolate and the meat and all those other things that we love, although you can. We let go of limiting ideas of the past that no longer serve us, limiting beliefs and ways of being. In fact, there is a quote in Keep a True Lent by Charles Fillmore. "I keep a true Lent by denying old beliefs of the past and by laying hold of new ideas that are life-giving. Thus, I transform my thinking and spiritualize my life. Thus, I spiritualize my life and transform my thinking." So that's what Lent is about. Let's eliminate negative thinking. L-E-N-T. Let's eliminate negative thinking. So today we're mirroring the Easter story of Jesus' transformation. We're coming out of the dark tomb of that 40 days of Lent and into the light of spiritual transfiguration by energetically transforming and rebuilding our temple. And it's not some outer place, some outer masonry or building. It's us. It's our body. Much like Jesus. I bet when he told the disciples that the temple would be torn down and then rebuilt in 3 days, that those guys took him seriously, literally rather. I bet they took him literally and thought that when he was on the cross and indeed took his last breath and the temple was rent in two, I bet they shrugged their shoulders and said, "That's it, he said it would happen." And I bet they spent 3 days in their mourning period wondering and looking to see if brick by brick or stone by stone, that temple would be resurrected. But Jesus wasn't talking about a building. Jesus was talking about the body temple. Actually, Jesus was talking about a level of consciousness. And in 3 days, rose from the dead, rose into eternal life. For that's what death is. It's a change from one level of consciousness to another. Life is eternal. So that's what that rebuilding of the temple was really about. There was a new temple, a new level of consciousness, and a level of consciousness that was showing us what was attainable. In the Bible, the temple represents the dwelling place of the divine presence. And King Solomon actually built a temple in Jerusalem. It's known as the first temple, and it was very lavish and embellished, and it took 7 years to complete. Primarily, it was designed to house the Ark of the Covenant, or the Ten Commandments. And the key architectural components were the outer court, where the sacrifices were made. And then there was a bronze basin outside, which is called the Sea, where the priests would purify themselves before going into the temple, into the inner temple, which is like the main hall, the holy place, and then into the inner temple itself, the Holy of Holies. The Holy of Holies, which is where the Ark was held. In the Metaphysical Bible Dictionary, our co-founder Charles Fillmore says, the high priest, as represented in these Bible stories, the high priest is the I Am, that divine nature of God within us. He says, every one of us is a high priest in his own temple. When we enter the absolute, we sacrifice the personal upon the altar that we may realize the Christ way into the secret place of the Most High. So it may mean that we have to take pause when we're entering the Holy of Holies and make sure that we purify our minds, purify our hearts, let go of the negative ideas, beliefs, ways of being that hold us back from really, really experiencing the presence of the divine within. It's not a notion. It's not something we just talk about or sing about. It's visceral. And the more we do the cleansing and purification work through prayer and meditation, the more able we are to intuit when, where, how to be still so that we can touch spirit. Charles Fillmore says, spiritual thought and spiritual meditations are constantly carrying us to a place of ascension, where form is resolved into its divine idea. This was the supreme victory of Jesus the Christ. When he came proclaiming that the Spirit of the Lord was upon him, anointing him to open the eyes of the blind, a new consciousness came to the race. He opened the eyes of men and showed them the way into their body temple. We must follow the Christ in this eternal temple building. We must follow that way. We create a new temple by building up our spiritual awareness of the divine presence within. Again, we're doing that through a sustained meditation and prayer practice. It does not matter what your meditation or prayer practice looks like. What's important is that you sustain it, that you're doing the work, that you're continually cleansing and purifying and uplifting your consciousness. Meditation and prayer then becomes the cleaning agents that purify the space. It's our preparation to enter a new state of spiritual understanding. So unwittingly, I didn't realize that this is what was going on until I got to that temple and this guide said they had spent 3 months cleaning it and a month celebrating it. So that's what was going on with me in this Bali experience. I was purifying my own temple through the process of chemicalization, the treatments, eliminating the toxins, and then sprucing up that went with the healthy diet, yoga, rest, and sacred sound, and other various forms of meditation. So for all intents and purposes, those became my cleaning agents. I don't have to tell you this if anyone is ready for the spring clean, the clearing of the clutter. It's a hard and thankless job, and sometimes you wonder if it will ever end. Will this? And you know what happens too? You make a big mess before you get things cleared up. You see how that is? You're pulling this and pulling that and sorting that, and then you turn around and everything's just a clutter and a mess around you. And you want to give up, but you can't sit down. There's nowhere to sit because there's something everywhere. You want to go and lie down and rest, but you can't because there's things on the bed. That's sometimes what the internal purification process is like. All the yuck comes up and it's just hanging out there. And it feels like every challenge that can happen is happening while I'm in this clearing process. And it's just hanging out there in the way. I don't feel like I can move forward. But trust the process. Keep moving, keep clearing, keep doing the work, and you will create a space. It may mean applying some spiritual elbow grease and using cleansing processes like forgiveness, kindness when you don't feel like being kind. As I said, quality time in meditation. And that's especially important when the chemicalization or the gunk is out there and it feels really intense. That's the time we want to stop meditating. We don't want to, we don't feel like it, we don't have time, we're not in the mood, can't think straight. You don't have to think in meditation, just keep doing it. Just keep loving what is, noticing how you're feeling, noticing how you're responding. Don't make that wrong, but just keep going. So I have an invitation for each of you. No, we're not going to Bali. My invitation to you is to, together, let's clean up our temple. Let's not make this Easter a one-day wonder. Let it be more than pretty frocks and Easter bunnies and Easter bonnets and gorging on the chocolate and the meat that we gave up for Lent. Let's not leave the sanctuary today and tomorrow we forget about Easter and we're already on to the next holiday. Let this be a time of reflection and transformation as we clean up and clear out. One way to let Easter be more than one day is to spend the next 40 days purifying our temple, and then follow that by a period of celebration when the work is accomplished. But it's a work in progress, it's never accomplished. But set a goal to have a time of celebration. In fact, this is the perfect time for spring cleaning. We can intentionally apply that spiritual grease and those cleansing practices that I've mentioned, forgiveness, random acts of kindness, compassion, and enhanced meditation and prayer. Let's clear up our erroneous thoughts around money and truly acknowledge God as our source. Let the only thing we recycle be the affirmation, there is always enough. Try it with me. Recycle that. Let's bundle and discard the false ideas of sickness and disease and the idea that this is our lot, that this is all that we have in front of us, that's all that's going to be available to us. That's not the truth. Instead, daily apply the cleaning salve of truth that health is your natural birthright. Wholeness and perfection is yours by divine right. Hold that idea, keep that in the keep pile, and discard the lies about your health. Let's black bag those messy beliefs that anyone or anything can take or keep our good from us. Throw that out. Hold to the idea that what is yours by divine right of consciousness cannot be kept or taken from you. Let's move out of the tomb of darkness, despair, and confusion. Don't let anything or anyone steal your joy. Roll away the stone of sorrow and rise up into your greatness. Rise up into a new awareness based on a firm faith and renewed trust in the divine within. The 14th century poet Hafiz says, "The words we speak become the house we live in." The words we speak become the house we live in. And I like to say the words we speak today become the house we live in tomorrow. So as we're cleaning up, let those words that pollute be thrown out, washed away, and speak only phrases that purify and uplift. Wash away the words that pollute and use phrases that purify and uplift, because the words you speak become the house you live in. Let your temple be pure, pristine, and clear, setting your intention to speak as you mean it to be. And doing this, doing all of this will create a temple worthy of inhabitation. And then let the next step be celebration time. Come on. Celebrate the purification of that shiny new inner sanctuary. Actually, you know what we can do? We can celebrate the new temple that Easter represents for the next 6 weeks, the next 40 days, until Ascension Day. Ascension Day is the day represented where Jesus was before his disciples, transfigured into light, and then lifted up to heaven. We can ascend in consciousness if we do this purification process. And so mark your calendars, get your paper out, and mark down on your calendars Thursday, the 14th of April, Ascension Day. But you have to start the cleaning process today. And then we can be as committed to temple life as the Bolognese are. Make that our focus, make it important, make it valuable, have festivals and celebrate. But it's not just about that. It's about going into the inner temple and becoming still and touching the stillness through meditation and reverie. And when we're in that place, we celebrate in the Holy of Holies. I would like to close with a poem called My Church, which is by a Reverend Hattie Garlicks, that she shared with a congregation on Easter Sunday, 1933. My church is the Christ consciousness and is within me. My thoughts are my congregation. They sit in every cell of my body, for my body is the temple of the Most High. My eyes are the windows through which the light of God, radiant love and understanding shines, and to those without, they bear the picture of God's image and likeness in sunny smiles of deep, reflected peace and perfect joy. My voice is the organ of this temple. It rolls forth in majestic cadences the powerful strains of peace, love, and goodwill to all. These strains set the chimes ringing in the spires of my noblest spiritual aspiration, causing it ever to point to higher and higher spiritual attainment and the expression of good. My heart is the altar of love on which I sacrifice every low animal-like propensity, all the dust of selfishness, personality, ego, and self-seeking, rebuilding, remodeling, remaking me and my congregation according to the perfect plan of the Divine Master. With this conception of my church, I am free to worship at home amid my daily tasks or on the busiest street of the city, in the little church of the Vale, on the mountaintop or the greatest cathedral. Wherever I am is erected a temple of God within. Wherever I am is erected a temple of God within. And this is my church. This is my new temple. Namaste.
Thank you, Paulette. Oh, thank you so much. Reverend Paulette Piping Hutt. How are you feeling? Just so you know, we don't have to be out at 1 o'clock today. You're good. You're good. Take a breath. And I think that you meant 40 days from now will be in May. So I know I set a precedent. I said August, you said April, and it's May. Are you ready to begin your 40 days? Okay. Well, the rest of you, stay with us anyway. Because today is all there is right now. Take a deep breath. Let it out. Are you ready to roll away the stone that is blocking your good, that is blocking your light? Just be willing. Just be willing to settle in, to visualize that stone rolling away any obstacle, as you know just how blessed, how very blessed you are. Space. Just feel this space. Thank you.
So we've come now to the time in the service where we turn our attention to the inner temple. Make any adjustments that you need to in your seat, putting aside anything that you're holding in your hands, straightening up, let your shoulders roll back, and your feet be firmly on the ground. Begin to become the witness observer. Notice every sound. Feel every feeling and sensation. Even notice the thoughts scrolling across your mind. We're not trying to stop them or push them away. So let yourself off the hook for even having them. Just notice and bring your attention back to the breath. If during our time in the temple within, you become distracted by any sound, thought, or sensation, just notice. Don't try to push it away or become frustrated because it's not silent, it's not still. Just notice and bring your attention back to the breath. So let's take a deep breath now. Breathe in, breathe out, breathe in, and breathe out. A full, complete breath. So not breathe in from the chest, but from the abdomen. Feeling the tummy push forward as you breathe in and draw back as you exhale all the air as slowly as possible. And drop your shoulders from your ears. Open your mouth wide one time to relax the jaw. And feel relaxation now in your face and around your eyes, the back of the head and the crown of the head. And this signals the entire torso, arms, pelvis and hips, legs, knees, ankles and feet to let go. And we breathe our way to stillness, letting each breath purify, cleanse, and uplift. Let each breath be the cleaning agent that purifies the temple of the living God within and without. Clear your thoughts of negativity by intention. I am willing to let go. I am willing to eliminate negative thinking. I am willing to rise up into a new awareness as I rest. As I wait in the Holy of Holies, in the inner temple within, waiting in the stillness of the silence. your next breath take you more deeply inside. Purified, cleansed by the quickening, clearing, purifying presence of the divine. We surrender and reflect in the holy of holies of the temple within, in the stillness of the silence. And now, breath by breath, we begin our journey in consciousness back to this time and place. Aware again of the sounds around us, the temperature of the air as it touches our skin, that deep connection with the divine that comes from stillness, and our willingness to begin a purification process for the next 40 days until the 14th of May 2015, when we ascend into another level of consciousness and celebrate the divine within. So we bless our body temple. We bless our spiritual temple. Take a breath and let it be a baptism of the temple as we exhale.
So it is.